First, I'm just going to ask you your name.
Okay, full name?
Yeah.
Lawrence Timothy Houston, Sr.
Okay, and what years did you go to the Roberts School?
My last year there was 1968, so I went through four grades there.
So you would have started in 1964?
Yeah.
And how did you like going to the Roberts School?
I love going to the Roberts School.
So you didn't think of it as being an inferior school to the white school, to the after the elementary?
No, because we had nothing to compare it to. Yeah. So I just, that was all I knew. So it was, as far as I was concerned, it was, well, it was better than some of the stories that my mom told me about their school. So it, compared to that, it was an excellent school.
What school did she go to?
She went to a little school called Blue Springs. And it's below town on 293 in Acorf. This was just a little one-room shack. It was actually built, I guess, by the people. They probably used somebody's barn, basically.
Okay, so it was just somebody in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Gave us some old building or something they had. Everybody went to.
Yeah.
And that's how far is that from here?
Probably about 2 miles.
Okay, so it was too far for them to walk to go to like the Rosenwald School or any of those?
Well, actually, she lived in that area. She lived out off of Acorf Due West and Nance Road.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be an old house there. They tore it down about a couple of years ago to build a subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
So she was raised there. And a lot of the African Americans in the community was raised out from the city. It was a few down in the city, but most of them lived off on Nance Road, Acworth Due West, Morris Hill. They all lived out in that area.
If you wanted to, could you walk into the city and go to the Rosenwald School? Or
Yeah, well, they had one, yeah. But they used to walk to town, so,
okay.
Yeah.
But, so when you went to the Roberts School, you were comparing it to that school rather than to Acworth Elementary, huh? When you went to the Roberts School, did you like your teachers? Were the teachers, did you consider them good teachers?
Yeah. Well, as a kid, some of them was mean, but they was really good teachers. We had a couple special ones. One was named Miss Taylor, and one was named Miss Neely. Miss Neely, she taught the older grade, the 7th and the 8th grader. And Miss Taylor, she taught 2nd grade.
And that's N-E-E-L-E-Y?
I don't.
You don't remember?
No.
Too long ago.
Yeah, it's been a long time ago. But she was, I think she had been one of the original teachers from the Rosenwald School.
Oh, okay.
And she moved on over to, because everybody knew her. And she was, but she was the tough teacher. She was probably about 5 feet tough. You had to learn.
Well, do you know what kind of training she had? Do you know she went, how she was educated?
No.
Did she teach all the different subjects, or did she just teach?
Yeah, most of the teachers over there taught every subject. You didn't change classes,
mm-hmm.
So you had that teacher for the entire grade level.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I had in my fourth grade teacher name was Miss Brown, and so she was real special because I used to sit by her desk. So,
why did you have to sit by her desk?
Well, kind of because I was a teacher's pet and talked a lot. So that probably twofold, I guess.
So why did you think she was a great teacher? She made you sit by her desk.
Well, she was nice and she was pretty.
That made her special.
That made her special.
Yeah. You remember? Is there any particular events that you remember about the Roberts School?
Yeah, a couple. We had when we first went there, the principal was named Mr. Hardin, and he was always one that, we had a little cafe down the street from the school, and they would send him a box of cookies, and he would eat cookies and carrots all the time. All day long. That was his specialty. But after he left, we had a principal come named Mr. Dyson. And Mr. Dyson wasn't too popular at the beginning because he was new. You know, anytime you get a new teacher, you know. And
D-Y-S-O-N, Dyson?
I have no idea.
They never made you write their name down?
No.
Huh?
None of them. But we had a rainstorm in the school leaked, and we had a couple of puddles in the hall. And he was coming down the hall after some kids and slipped, fell and broke his elbow. Oh. Yeah, and so that was memorable because everybody laughed. I mean, it wasn't funny, but you know, he was the new principal coming into a school, and you had to, being raised in this community, an outsider come in don't fit well at first, I guess, because everybody.
So he wasn't from the Ackworth area?
No, none of the teachers were.
Oh, really?
The only, Miss Taylor, she was from Kennesaw. She lived down off of, actually across from Sardis Baptist Church. That's the only one I can remember. Most of them are from Atlanta.
Oh, okay. So, do you know how they ended up in Ackworth, or
no.
Maybe saw an advertisement for work and came in?
I have no idea.
Hmm.
I guess they advertised, I guess, for teachers, because Robert School was the only school, the elementary school in the area. Everybody from Kennesaw, from across the county line, Bottoe County, everybody that was black in this area went to Robert School.
They were bused in, or did they have to get their own transportation?
The ones from Kennesaw was bused in, but the ones that lived in Ackworth, even as far as out off Glade Road 75, they had to walk. So the only one was bused in, the ones from Kennesaw.
Well, the teachers that were coming from outside, did they eventually move to Ackworth, mm-hmm. or did they just drove in and
just drove
home?
Yep.
Okay.
I never remember one teacher living in Ackworth.
So you had lunch cooked at the Roberts School.
Mm-hmm. Every day.
And ate there.
Yep.
And I saw a gym, so I assume you had gym class.
No, we didn't have a gym. We had like a cafeteria, mm-hmm. where you had a stage in the cafeteria where mm-hmm. you, but we played outside.
Okay.
The playground equipment that was up there is still over at one of the playgrounds. They don't use it no more. It's just, well, outdated.
Is that one of the parks around
here? Yeah. It's over Durfield. It's up from Durfield there.
Okay.
Because when they closed the school, the city moved it down and made like a little playground with a basketball court and all that then. But we didn't have no basketball, no gym. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got run on asphalt.
What happened if it rained?
You didn't go outside.
What'd you do? What'd teachers do with you?
Work. You done classwork.
Oh, so you just didn't get a break at all?
Right. No break.
Huh. And what subjects did you like the best?
None.
I didn't like none.
I was an A student, mm-hmm. but I didn't really like school, because you was confined. You couldn't get out and run around. I wasn't a school person.
So the teachers kept you busy enough to make you have an A, huh?
Yeah, it was most of the parents too. I couldn't bring bad grades home. Because back then, the teacher can whoop you in school. So you get whooped at school, then you go home. Whether he was right or wrong, you get whooped again. So it didn't matter. You never could. So what I didn't do, it didn't matter. And that was in the neighborhood too.
And did they have like a PTA at that school?
Not that I'm aware of.
So they didn't have like PTA meetings for the parents to come in and voice?
Nope.
Problems.
Right. Well, the parents didn't have no problem. You went to school to learn, and you learned. If you didn't learn, you got a whipping. that was the bottom. And it never was a big issue. I don't never remember it being a big issue for the parents and teachers. It just wasn't a problem in the community. You went to school, you knew you had to go learn. I tell you, one thing happened to me when we get out of school, we go home and then we come back over to the school in the evening to play on the playground. And this was my third grade teacher, Miss Perry. She had a leather strap. That's what she used to discipline us with. It was a leather strap like they use to sharpen the razors with. And I remember that day we had been outside for recess, and she always took it outside with just in case somebody got out of hand. And she left it outside. So that either we was over there playing, I saw it. So I got it, took it home so nobody wouldn't get it. But I brought it back to school the next day and told her she left it outside. I got whooped with the strap for that, for taking her.
Well, that didn't seem fair, but.
No, it didn't, but hey. But needless to say, if she'd left it out there again, it'd have stayed.
Or it would have disappeared.
Exactly. But it was, that just the way it was at the school. But it was a nice experience because basically everybody was family. Everybody knew everybody. And then,
how did that change when you went to the Ackworth Elementary?
Well, it changed because we didn't know nobody, but it wasn't as bad as we thought it was going to be, but it was still a big difference because the school was bigger for one thing, and had a gym. They had ceramics class. They had that, and so we didn't have none of that. So we didn't. But it was exciting to be able to do that. But the change, I think, when I first went over there, the teacher I had was Miss Copeland. So that was in the fifth grade. She was a good teacher. So they had to actually make room for us because we was in a little room that used to be the arts class. So they had to make it a classroom. My class wasn't inside the building. It was in a little room out behind the gym. So we had a couple, I think three classes they put out there.
In trailers?
No, it wasn't a trailer. It was a brick building. It was a part of the school, but it was used for Pacific. I think it was used for art, basically. Then down from now, they had a wood building that was the ceramics class. So it was actually an extension of the arts class. Mm-hmm. So, and it was huge. That was a big art room. We didn't have an art room. We had you was in your room. You done everything in that room. But the teachers was nice. The ones I experienced, but my nephew, of course, had one that wasn't so nice. But my teachers was nice. But the change was, I don't know, it was scary. It was really, because we could have.
Tell me what you were thinking, like the summer before you started at that school. What was going on in your mind when you think about going to school?
I didn't want to go. Because, you know, you listen to the TV, you know what all was going on. It wasn't happening in Ackworth, but it was happening around. So you just didn't know what to expect. So, you know, you were scared to death when you go over there. But we went and had a pretty pleasant experience. But it wasn't like Roberts. You didn't get the attention that you got at Roberts.
Did you still get spanked?
No. No, never got spanked in that school.
And that went up to seventh grade?
Ackworth?
Yeah.
That went to the sixth.
Up to sixth grade.
Yeah.
So you were there for 3 years?
Two.
2 years.
Yeah, fifth and sixth grade. Then I went to Autry. Okay. It was junior high then, because you had seventh, eighth, and ninth grade at Autry. And I think at Autry, when I got promoted to the year I went to the eighth grade, that's when they put the ninth grade in high school. Mm. So it changed to middle school then, of course. It wasn't junior high no more. But, and I played basketball at Autry, so Autry was a better experience. I guess you just begin to mix, but it still wasn't the same, because I tell you, in Robert School, when we started class, we sung like a church song. We done scripture, we sung church song like Amazing Grace or some spiritual song. We had prayer, then we done the Pledge of Allegiance, then we started our classwork. That was every day. But we didn't, when we went to Ackworth, you didn't do that. You just done the Pledge of Allegiance. So that was a big, big difference. And I still believe today that's my personal opinion, but that, to me, that need to be done. I believe that was a start. Even with integration, I think it started to change the culture. It started to change because, and I'm going to be blunt, right? Okay.
I don't get offended easily. I'll put it that way. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I hope that I don't want to offend nobody, but I was taken out of my environment and put in a totally different environment, one that I really didn't like. And most time you take something out of the environment, you put it in, some adapt, some die. So, and what I mean by die, sometimes your spirit get broken. You know, you get to the point where you just don't care no more. And then some get to the point to where they try to adapt too quick, or they try to adapt and just totally forget where they came from. And we had a lot of that. Because when we started going to school with the white kids, their morals was different than ours. They dressed was different than ours. But because of the trend, the way things was going, we started to adapt their ways. And to me, that was a big issue, because you begin to forget where you come from. And then you slowly begin to just do away with a culture. And I think that happened.
So. Did your parents have a problem with that? With if they felt like you were becoming too much like, you know, adapting to their ways, did they smack you around a little bit, say you're getting too smart?
No. No, the only time they had a problem is when you come to ask, like, most of the clothes the white kids wore was, I guess you would say, they say they shopped at Eaton's and we shopped at Mr. Green's. And that's like Macy's and Walmart, if you can understand, Mr. Green. And we couldn't afford to shop at Eaton's. But after seeing what they was wearing, we tried to make a way to do that. So that actually put your parents in a different position. So that called turmoil in the family, because you want to do something, and that's, I guess they call it peer pressure now, mm-hmm. where you want to dress a certain way and you just can't afford to do it. But before then, it was never a problem, because everybody, you know, pretty much dressed the same. The more things I think my parents focused on, you get education. You deal with what you have to deal with, just learn, and they would teach you that's your way out. You know, if you don't learn something, then, you know, they'll give you an example of where you're going to end up, because we had a lot of those examples. Because a lot of people gave up because it was hard. It was hard for men to get a job. It was hard for black men to be men, because most of the women could get a job. But then job was housekeeping or cleaning or something like that. Most of the men had to pretty much start. We had a couple of places around here they worked, like Qualico and Bombers was the bomber plant before turning to Lockheed. A lot of them end up getting jobs there. So a lot of the men in the community that had a job had good jobs and they made good money.
And weren't there some mills around here? Had they closed by then?
No, they actually some Coast and Clark. Yeah, some worked at Coast and Clark Mill. Unique knitting mill. Mm-hmm. Some worked there, and I can't never remember the name of this mill over here where the old mill's at.
It was made into a restaurant now.
Well, actually, the mill is a restaurant, but it wasn't actually the thread mill. It was the building next to it. It's a paper plant now. The mill was like a warehouse for that building. Because it had been closed. It was like a flour mill when it first opened, but it closed, so they used it for storage. Mm-hmm. But I can never remember the name of that building. And I would go down to that mill and put in an application for a job. I'd done it for probably about a year. And I'd done it because a lot of the friends that I was going to school with, they said, you go there, you get a job down there. But they was white. They went down. They got a job. I mean, they just go down for the application and get a job. And every time I go down after application, they say they weren't hired. And then a couple of weeks later, another one of your friends get hired down there.
It was just, the white friends.
Yeah.
So did you have a lot of white friends? Once
yeah.
Did you have white friends before you went to Ackworth?
Yeah. I remember Terrell King. In fact, he grew up right down the street here. Leslie. What was, I can't remember Leslie's last name. Don Brooks, we had a lot of them. We played together when we got out of school, but we just went our own separate ways, rob school to go to school. But yeah, all those kids, everybody pretty much got along in the community. I can never remember in my time an incident for like a big uproar against black and white. Maybe one time we had, but it was after the school was integrated. I may have been at Autry when this happened. There was some friends of ours. We used to have to walk out to Clark Creek to go swimming. We come over here to swim every now and then at Cobble Park, but we always thought the water was too murky. So Clark Creek water was a lot better. So we'd always walk out to Clark Creek to go swimming. And this particular day, it was about four or five black guys out there. They was out swimming and some white guys come up ragging them, messing with them. and they got into a fight. And it was one of the guys named Clinton hit one of the guys. And I don't know if y'all remember the little commemorative baseball bat they give you. Hit him in the head with the baseball bat. It hurt him pretty bad. So they threatened, them guys threatened him to go home and get a gang to come and burn their house down that night. And they was living, you know, what, the Rosenwald School at?
Who, the white kids threatened to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know where the Rosenwald School at? That house right next to Rosenwald School? They was living there at the time. And they was my relatives. So they had threatened to do it, and so the family, of course, was afraid. So what we done, we all brought them over our house. Because I grew up right up the street from the Rosenwald School. And they all came to our house that day, so everybody sit there, they watch. Well, that never happened, but you just never knew, you didn't take no chance. And that was basically about the only incident that was threatened to burn somebody's house down or something like that, but it never happened. I guess they were just kids talking. But
you never saw any Klan members or anything like that around Acor?
Not real ones.
Not real ones.
When we was at North Carr, we had, we call it Grub Day.
What's that?
Grub Day is when you come dressed all, they may call it something different.
Oh, you can be like really casual?
No, you can dress any kind of way.
Oh, okay.
It was like they put on costumes, or you dress like an old man, or any, it was just.
Kind of like Halloween?
Yes, you could say that. Mm-hmm. So, and we had one one guy come to school dressed as a Klan. So, and that was a fight that day.
Oh, there was a fight about that?
Yeah.
Did they get called to the office for
it?
Yeah. And sent home?
Yeah. And the ones that was fighting, too.
So
everybody did. But at North Carr, it was integrated but segregated. So, and, you know, you went to school there, but you still hung with your kind. We had a place in North Carr, but at the end of the hall, was all the black was staying every morning. Every morning, and we would do that. It was mean, but we would do that to intimidate the white kids that would come through, and they wouldn't. A lot of them wouldn't come through. They'd go all the way around the hall to do that. I mean, we wasn't a threat. We weren't gonna do nothing. We just watch. It's like watch this, you know. It was how different we was from them. We'd stand there, and they wouldn't even come our way.
Kind of like, let's see if we can make them go around.
Yeah. And quite a few did. it was mean, but I mean, it was mean. It was just mean. I wouldn't do that now.
That's a question.
This is going back a little bit, but what was your first job?
My first job? Concrete.
Concrete.
Yeah, I worked. At that time he was my brother-in-law.
Okay.
He had he still got a concrete business now, but he had one then. So he tucked me to work with him for a summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I made $15.
All summer?
Yeah.
How old were you?
He fired me. Because me and another guy was in a house, and I think I was probably about 12.
Oh, you were young.
Yeah, yeah. But he was giving us $1 an hour. And so we worked a couple of days. The last day, me and another guy, he was a little younger than I was. We was playing. We knocked over this guy cooler. Wasted all his water. So he said he didn't need us anymore. That was my first. It wasn't a real job. But I made $15, and I was able to buy two pair of pants, two shirts, and two pair of shoes.
Wow.
It was pretty nice.
Did you have any sort of formal education after you got out of high school?
No, actually, they quitted me in high school. I didn't.
They quitted you.
No, I got a girl pregnant when I was 17. So I ended up, I was trying to get on the CB. We call it a CBA program, CBAE.
What is
program.
That?
It's like we go to school half a day and get out and go to work half a day.
Okay.
But at the time we was in school, they only allowed it for seniors, and I was only a sophomore.
Okay.
And being a sophomore, I failed one grade. When I got to high school, I wanted just good of a student.
Yeah.
Because one day, I sit in a math class the whole quarter, never done nothing. I mean, nothing.
I take it you weren't on the basketball team anymore?
I played basketball.
They still let you play, even when you failed class?
Yeah, that didn't. Back then, it didn't matter. You could pass if you were good.
Oh, okay. Because these days, they don't let you do sports if you don't
do well
in class.
People had to make that change, mm-hmm. because a lot of the kids wasn't getting educated. They were just using them to play sports.
Right.
And once they played sports, there was no life after that. But I had to end up quitting to go to work when I got married. Actually, I got married at 17. And I quit and went to work with my other cousin, who has a janitorial business, and to try to support my family. But I eventually, years later, I was like 30, 31, 32, I went back to North Metro Tech, got my GED. Then I went and studied for electronics.
Okay.
Got a certified security system installer. But I got a degree in church ministry, a bachelor degree in church ministry. But that's been like probably 5 years ago. So I wasn't a school person, mm-hmm. but if I could do it all over again, you know, most people say I wouldn't change a thing. I'd change a whole lot. I'd change a whole lot because I see how important it is. Now, you know, your parents always tell you, you're gonna need education. You're like, why? And all the time, and after sitting in that math class all day long, not doing nothing, when I went back to school, when I was in school, algebra wasn't a required course. So I wasn't going to take it. It was hard. So I just stuck to regular math. But when I went back to school, when you started studying schematics and different things like that, you'd be thinking you were never going to need it. But that's when it come into play. You'd be like, oh, yeah. So if I'd have done it in high school, I would have been a lot better at it. I wouldn't have to try so hard or study so hard to learn it.
Right.
But and it's still complicated. Yeah. But I didn't. After that, when I started working in the community and stuff, tried to get the kids not to go through what I went through. Mm-hmm. So,
where'd you go to school when you went back?
North Metro Tech.
Okay.
But for church, it was Sure Foundation Theological Institute. It was more of an online course for that. So, because I have a church in the community.
Okay.
I'm also a pastor.
What is that?
Joshua Gospel Tabernacle.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a few things. I'm gonna go way back now.
Oh.
what year did you say you finished at Roberts School?
1968.
And then you went to Ackworth Elementary?
Yeah.
Did you go to Ackworth Elementary by choice or?
No, you didn't have a choice. They closed our school.
Right.
Well, you had a choice the year before because they integrated. I think it was the 66, 67 school year. Mm-hmm. And they told your parents that if they wanted to, you could go that year. But if you didn't choose to go that year, the very next year, the school's going to close. You'd have no choice. You had to go. So we had like three students choose to go the year before because we didn't want to go. So we hung around there a year long. And actually, that was the year that Dr. King got assassinated.
Right.
So it was... But we end up, next year we had to go. We didn't have a choice.
Okay. Let's see.
What were your thoughts when Dr. King was assassinated?
I don't remember it a whole lot. Only thing I remember is my mom, she used to iron clothes for a living. And she was ironing and I was sitting on the floor. I remember it well, and the news flash came on the TV and said Dr. King, and she just hollered, cried, and got on the phone and called her sister and was saying they killed him. And that's about my only memory of that, other than the fact the funeral after that, when people started to talk about him. And in fact, Ms. Brown, our school teacher, a lot of our teachers went to the funeral, and we have got to watch it in school on TV. So we sit down. Everybody watch. It was for the scene reaction, everybody else, we knew it was devastating. I mean, I knew it was devastating. It changed a whole lot. A lot of people was mad, really mad.
There wasn't any incidents in town, though, because
of it? None that I remember.
Any more questions?
I guess I can ask a few about kind of today. What's your position as far as in the Acworth, like city council?
Yeah, I'm Acworth called them aldermen, but it's the same as the councilman, mm-hmm. just a different name. And yeah, I've been on, I guess, council 5 years now, going into my next 4-year term. I'll be reelected in November 3rd.
Just curiosity, have you been doing anything as far as race relations are concerned in Acworth with that? I mean, is there still anything going on concerning any type of race relations in the city?
Well, that's a tough question. you have issues, but most of them are unfounded. You find that I'm pretty different. And to explain what I'm talking about, I think y'all don't want to get into my political views, I'm sure, right?
No, go ahead.
But I think welfare is, I think it's, I don't believe in it. I believe people need help. But to get back to your question, a lot of the incidents that we have of people, if the police pull them over, you know, then I get a phone call. They pull them over because I'm black. They profile them. The police do something to somebody. They're doing it because I'm black. And I get so tired of hearing that. I mean, I'm not so naive that I don't believe that it happens. It happens. But what was you doing to call the police to pull you over? Look at that first. You know, you speeding. Well, you shouldn't have been speeding. You ran a stop sign. They pulled you over because you ran a stop sign. But now they profile because of the type of car or because of where I come from. If you're coming out of a drug area, I mean, come on. So all those things are obvious, but they'll call you and they'll try to claim that it's, you know, race related. But a lot of it's not. A lot of people just use it because it's always been a tool to use. But a lot of it is unfounded. And the reason why I hate that so bad, because you have some cases that are legitimate, but you don't want to act on it because, you know, it's like the boy cried wolf, you know, and it happens a lot. So I try to get that message across. But I think when you got a system that is set up to give people handouts, and people are going to shoot me for saying this, but what it does is it make them become complacent, you know. And you got over in the housing, you got generations have lived in the housing, mm-hmm. because that's their way of life. My parents done it, you know. We made it. They don't want to do better. They don't give them no incentive to do better. I just barely make it. And then you'll have, to me, welfare destroyed marriage, because you have women, they won't marry a man, because if I marry him, they're going to cut off my check, you know. But if I have more kids, I get more money. So all those things contribute to me, quality of life, but it's on another level. And it keeps them, then when they get to the point to well, I want to do better now, they got so much luggage or baggage that it's going to take people twice as long to get out on their own. And once you convince them that they need to get out and just get them a job, even if it's at McDonald's, get you a job, because they always complain about the government all in your business. Well, you get money from them. So they got a right to be in your business. If you don't want them in your business, get out and get you a job. And a lot of them have done that, and their life's a lot better, and they learn to live within their means. And when they realize that they can do that, it's different as night and day. So we have just, I guess, the normal stuff as other cities have. Well, no, not like Atlanta. I take that back. Not like other cities. We don't have it as a big issue. Just the little things that, you know, like I said, are unfounded. People going to complain. And that's going to always be. I mean, because you got different races of people with different views. And people was raised different. A lot of them have learned behaviors. So that's going to always be. But for us, Agra, I can honestly say Agra, and you can ask some of the older people, they would tell you that this community has just been a great community. And I'm not selling Atworth because I'm on the council. No. I mean, I've lived there all my life. I never moved from Atworth. It's just been a great place. I've traveled. I mean, I go to, hung out in Cartersville, hung out in Marietta, hung out in Atlanta. And they have issues. I'm serious. They have serious issues. And we don't have nothing near like that. So,
are you talking about racial issues or drug issues or what?
All of them. Because you have a lot of, I mean, what happened is people build up, when you have, like, you got one race always crying foul, the other race get upset about it, you know, especially when there ain't no need to cry foul. So all that stuff builds up within you, and it's got to go somewhere. It's got to go. That's why you have a lot of those police beatings and stuff like that. You know, your body's only made to hold so much. You got to have an outlet. And then they choose that outlet. I wouldn't choose it, but I mean, I probably would years ago, but right now.
Well, as Atworth has become more diverse, you're getting more, it used to be just black and white, and you know, everybody was Protestant, and now you're getting different colors, different religions coming in. You think it's still, everybody gets along pretty well?
Yeah. And we are more diverse. It's just, because I used to know every black person that lived in Atworth. I mean, I can go anywhere I go, I run it, I knew. But now, I don't know nobody. And I see a lot of them, you know, and I'm like, man, who are you? What are you? But, yeah, I think it's real diverse. And we still don't have a whole lot of black-white issues or diverse issues, just other than the fact that, for the most part, the old Atworth, the old black community, still state claim. They still got ownership because, you know, like Durfield, the Robert School, that community was all, it was kind of isolated. And everything they done, and I can tell you what, when I don't want to go back, I can remember one time as a little boy, one of the clubs, we had like a couple of clubs over there, one cafe, one was a little nightclub, and it was a shootout. It was, you know, but they were shooting amongst each other. They went, a couple of guys from Marietta were shooting. And you would call the police, and they would come an hour later because they wait till everything stopped to shoot, stopped to settle down, and they would come there. But that would happen a lot. I can tell you about a couple of shootouts there. that would happen, and you'd call the police, and it was always an hour later. I don't know if they sit on the hill and wait till they see everybody disperse and clear out, then come. But
I assume that at that time the police department was all white?
Yeah, one black police officer.
And what about what time period was this?
That was, but actually they had three to come through at that time, but at that particular time they only had one. It had to be like the late 60s. We had one actually, Randolph Blaylock. He was one. He was like police for 2 or 3 days. He quit. And him and the one, Walter Johnson, he stayed on it the longest. He was the only black police officer for years. Then they hired another guy. I can't remember his name. He was from Marietta. And they actually ran him out of town. He didn't have a police car. He used to drive a old city pickup truck. And he would ride through the community. He was one of those police officers that would just bother you for no reason. And some of the men in the community got tired of it. So they messed him up pretty good.
Black man or white man?
Black man. He got in the truck, and I've never seen that man since. I don't know where he went to. he left Atworth. Never. There's some people over there that know him. I didn't know him because I was young. But I remember him driving that old green pickup and always messing with the men over, and they got tired of it. They ran him off.
Did the black police officers, did they give tickets and so forth to white people? Or did they just send him into the black community?
At first, he was in the black community. But after years passed, he started. But he had problems. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of problems.
So if he gave someone a ticket that was white, then somebody on the city council or somebody higher up would get a call?
Now, I don't know about that. I know that he would get in trouble. Because he would basically just hang out in the black community. You know, he'd ride through town or right over, but when he'd come stop, he would stop in the community. But that changed over the years. He was there for a long time. They Hackworth Police Department had very few black officers, so I don't know why that is now. But maybe that's something we need to work on. but I mean, for us, the police department now, is, I think we got one of the best police department we've had in years. Because that's how I got started in politics was the housing authority over here, it came and cut down our basketball goals. And that's what, every day when we got out of school, when we got off work, we go to the basketball court, play basketball to dark, everybody. That was every day. And it was a couple of people that lived in the housing, a couple of old ladies, they complained that we was rowdy, too much noise, and she didn't like it. So they cut down on the time for us to play. So we started to play, and eventually they got to the basket, she just went and cut the goals down, had them cut down. And so I'm the type of person, I don't take a lot to get me riled up, but once I get focused on something, I ain't quitting. So when they done that, that's when I started coming to the council meeting and complain, because she was saying it was the city property, and the city was saying it was a housing authority property. Nobody wanted to take ownership. So I'd come to the council meeting and we could tell them we needed the basketball court back, because it was nothing for the kids to do. You didn't have no rec center, you didn't have no aquatic center, you didn't have nothing, you know, other than hang on the street corners. And that's basically what we ended up doing. So we fought for years to get another basketball court, and then when they came and built the other one, they built it down next to you what used to be the water treatment plant, down with the mosquitoes, and it was awful. I mean, it was really awful. And so needless to say, I complained about that, and this one thing led to another. The police started acting up. I started complaining about the police. I was always a fixture at the council meeting. So, and I mean, I complained a lot. I wouldn't let nothing go. But I was fair. I remember one time the police stopped me and gave me a ticket. I ran a red light. I was on my way to the hospital. And I ran a red light. And the guy came up to the car. He recognized who I was. So he was real cordial, real nice, and gave me the ticket, you know, yes, sir, no, sir. Which I didn't have time to deal with. I mean, I ran the red light to get the ticket. So I came to the council meeting. As soon as I got to the mic to talk, I could see this. See the man's in the council, they hold their head up. Oh, because I said, I got pulled over by, I started out, but I got pulled over by one of y'all police officers. And they were like, oh, here we go again. but I told him, I said, and he was real polite, real nice, and I just wanted to commend him on it. I said, I'm one that try to be fair. I complain if they do wrong, but if they do right, I'll tell you. Well, you could have seen the sign of relief on their face. It was just like, but that's the way I am. I mean, if I'm going to complain about you doing bad, I'm going to let you know when you're doing. So, but now our police department is—we still got some. I'm sure we still have issues because, well, we got good leadership, and that makes a difference. So, if they got an issue, they handle it. So, back then, they wouldn't.
You were talking about recreation for the black kids when Ackworth Beach opened up in the late 50s and 60s. Could black and whites go to Ackworth Beach, or was that segregated also?
I can't answer that. I know we had our own beach.
Yeah.
I
don't know. I'm not saying maybe it's not segregated by the city, but maybe you segregated yourselves.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, because we had a beach called George Washington Carver. Mm-hmm. It was in Botler at Red Top, and it was, I mean, it was nice. It was a real nice facility, and I remember we used to sit on our porch with my mom because we lived right up from Cherokee Street there. And that was the only way when you come through, you come to Cherokee Street, 75 wasn't here then. And that was the only way people come from Atlanta, Marietta, to get to Red Top Mountain. We would sit there on Sunday, and you could count. It'd be like 10, 15 chartered buses, and that's when we seen actually black people in real nice cars. They would come in their nice cars, and it'd be like a convoy going to the beach, going to George Washington. Every Sunday, that was every Sunday, people coming from all over. That was the only black beach in the area. And you go out there, and they had a huge hall. They had a kitchen and a big dance floor, and you had the beach.
Restaurant there, or it was just a picnic area and stuff?
No, it was actually, I guess you got a restaurant. They cooked in it. They cooked your hot dog, hamburgers, whatever you wanted. They cooked, sold it, and had the jukebox, or every now and then they have a band. But then it was huge. It was.
Did you ever hitch a ride to the beach?
Yeah, all the time. And what's so bad about it, you got there, you couldn't get one back. You had to walk. And that was. It's
don't
a
pretty, stay too long.
Well, but a lot of time, at my age, I kind of hung with kids older than me, and then, but if another kid come along their age, then you get booted out. So, if you got out there riding with somebody older and another friend come, you didn't get a ride. So you end up having to walk home. So, and it was a long, that was a long way, but.
But you guys never went to the Ackworth Beach right here in town?
Later on, after they closed, they closed that.
Mm-hmm. Did they close that about the same time as they segregated the schools?
I don't know. I had never really paid that no attention, but all I know is it closed. It didn't close it down, but they changed name to Bartow Carver, and then it was no longer the Black Beach. You had to get reservations to rent it. It turned into like a special event hall or something. But yeah, we used to go swimming at the beach. I remember it because we had to walk. And I didn't go a whole lot because I didn't want to tote a bunch of clothes. And then you come back with no shoes on, asphalt hot. You walk a little bit, get in the grass a little bit, and walk a little bit. So, but we used to swim on it. But it was still kind of segregated. You know, you swimming over here and everybody else swimming over here. You didn't all mingle. And I wasn't too fond of water.
Just looking back today, what do you think, as far as integration, what was good that happened, and maybe what do you think should have been done differently? Or
yeah, well, that's a tough question. Why?
Sorry.
y'all want me to be honest, right? You want my honest opinion?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't like it. I didn't like the integration.
So you shouldn't think it shouldn't have been integrated at all?
No, I don't think so. Because we were getting along fine. But you ever notice when the integration took place, everything black went away. Because we had our own cafe, had your own stores. So to me, that could have been built on. Just say like, and I may be going to the extreme, like you got the Kennedys and the Rockefellers. They had stuff to hand down. So not most of the black families don't have that now because everything was done away with. Everything they was building on got took away. So they had nothing to build on. So they have nothing to hand down. So basically, unless you're an athlete now, most of the families, they have nothing to give their kids when they go out to start off. You have to start on your own, pretty much. So it makes it twice as hard. And I think integration contribute to that, because if black had to give up everything, it kept, just think about it now, even in Cobb County, we had the only school in Cobb County that was named after a black guy. How many schools in Cobb County have been named after somebody black? Not one. So, and then when you come to remember history, you remember to acknowledge somebody or recognize somebody, it's all white, simply because you done away with all the black. They didn't have opportunity to keep contributing to build that name. So to me, in that aspect, it was damaging. So it's kind of doing away with my heritage. And I know it's still up to me to keep it going, but it's a lot tougher. If they just left it alone, then it would have built on its own. You could have said, look what happened. But now when you say, look what happened, it's basically all bad. It's nothing really good. So, but I mean, can I deal with it? Yeah. But I wish it had never happened. Not saying that I want to be different than white people.
Right.
Because we was all mingling and getting along anyway. We were fine. But when that happened, it destroyed the black family.
Would you say instead of being integrated, it was more you were being assimilated into the white culture?
Yeah, exactly. Couldn't put it better. Exactly. And that's what happened.
Why did they say you have to go to Ackworth Elementary, and they didn't sell anyone at Ackworth Elementary, you have to go to Roberts School?
Man, they really would have been of trouble then. Because the white people wouldn't let that happen. They weren't going to let their kids go into a black community. I mean, even now, you can say that. There's a lot of people that was raised up in Ackworth have never been in the black community doing that. Never. So, and they said, well, I didn't know this field was there when they finally get over there. So, I didn't know this field was there, but the field been problems there before they even came. And they don't, I mean, they know some of the people in the community, but they probably go over there in just a block. You know, it's a block area. And they would probably go there and get lost and get out. And that's sad. So they weren't about to send their kids into a black community. I don't think so. But it was a nice school. I mean, it was a fairly new school at the time. So.
Newer than Ackworth Elementary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did you see a lot of your friends drop out of school after integration happened? Do you feel like a lot of the black kids started to drop out of school?
In Ackworth,
yeah,
we had a big dropout rate. You had some finishing, more so that didn't. I mean, that's still a bad statistic in Ackworth now. That's what got me started on the Roosevelt School, because of the dropout rate. We had very few kids that would finish high school, let alone go to college. So I was trying to change that. So that, you know, if you look at Cartersville and you look at Marietta, Cartersville got so many college graduates, and most of them from Tuskegee. A lot of them, I got a lot of friends of mine, they all graduated from Tuskegee. And if you look at that contributed to the education of the younger kids. When people started, y'all get me talking, I won't shut up. I'm telling you. You know, like you got people talking about the low achieving schools, and they're all in, they would say, poverty stricken communities. It's not so much of the money, it's more so of the education. You have the parents that have dropped out of high school, so they can't teach their kids. When their kids come home with homework, you know what they tell them? Go outdoors and play. When they ask them a question, you know, can you help me with this? They assume holler, I'm telling them go outdoors and play, as opposed to try to get them some help. Because they seem embarrassed. You know, when your kid come home smarter than you, and you can't help them. So that kind of stuff contributed to low achievers, as opposed to you go somewhere like Cartersville or East Cobb, where people move out there. Most of those parents are college graduates. They've been through, got some post-secondary education. So they're able to help their kids a little better, encourage them a little better, because they've experienced that. So to me, that contributed a lot to the dropout rate for the black kids, because a lot of their parents, and because their parents' parents couldn't go to school because they had to work in the fields, then they got very little education. So it's been a cycle. So to me, that's why I got started on the Rosenwald School, to help get a place where we can come and tutor the kids, kind of encourage them, to let them know it's a whole big world out there. You have a lot of kids had never even left out of Ackworth. Now, I'm talking about now. And that's why I was so grateful that the city started that Expanding the Horizon program, because you've had kids, they've been able to go different. They took some to Washington. In fact, I done a trip, took like 23 kids to Memphis, to the Lorraine Motel. And they were so amazed. Some of them had never stayed in a hotel room.
So is that what you're doing with the Rosenwald School and the Roberts School now, is to use it for tutoring for kids and so
yeah.
forth?
Yeah, that was the whole idea behind it.
Okay.
Because Ackworth had no facility. You know, the city hall wasn't here then. It was right over there, and it barely had room for the employee. You know, and still now we don't have a rec center. We really need a rec center. But for us, the education part of it now, we got, and the city's doing good with a lot of programs. We got Aqua for Achievers, the Spanning Rising program. Now, you still go back to the parents. You got to get the parent to get the kids involved with it. That's a task within itself.
Is that being promoted in Ackworth?
Yeah.
So people can hear about it?
Yeah, we use the Spanning the Horizon. This goes through the schools. Mm-hmm. They choose kids. The teachers send kids over. It took like, they have an average of 75 kids. I think it could start back up like November. And they've been to places like the Renaissance Festival, the museum, King Center, the Washington. Just a lot of places they wouldn't normally go. We have a private benefactor that donates this money to the city to make this, and he want to use Pacific for that. That kids that, you know, otherwise wouldn't have opportunity to go to these places, make it happen. And it they have to, when the kids go, they have to do a pre-trip, post-trip, and pre-trip. They have a folder they keep, you know, tell what they learned, what they saw, and all that stuff, so they can obtain it. You know, so.
Do you mind me asking if benefactor is black or white?
It's white.
So it's like another Rosenwald,
huh? Yeah, I never thought of that, yeah. That's right.
So the Rosenwald School, they go there, is it open every afternoon for tutoring? Or
Not now.
But you want to work towards that?
Well, not since we got the Robert School.
Oh, so now you have the Robert School for after school tutoring.
Yeah, see, the Robert School was, at the time we started the Rosenwald School, was Agri Public Work. It had a health department over there. When they closed the school down, Public Works moved in it and had the health center, Cobb County Health Center, and they stayed in there for years. And then when they closed it down, that was another battle of mine. before I got on the council, I would come in to council's meeting to get them to turn it into a rec center. But of course, there was no money. So in the meanwhile, I was working on the Rosenwald School to get it to have, I was working with an organization called Neighborhood Cobb, a guy named Joe Bryce. He got a grant from Emory, and found out later the grant was to study the behavior of black youth, males. But nevertheless, we got money to start some programs. So I worked for them for a while, part-time, and while I was working on the Rosenwald School, we started a free program. We got computers in there and got some kids coming down to after school. And they weren't in the best of shape, but it was working. You know, then I went, got grants from like Home Depot, Jasper Lumber Company, Allstate Foundation. They gave money to help kind of redo the Rosenwald School. But Jasper gave the lumber that we needed. And Allstate gave money, Home Depot gave money. And several.
And then Lowe's has given a grant.
Just last, yeah. And once Lowe's gave that grant, it was like $50,000. Then once we done that grant, and I mean, it was substantial. They've done a lot of work on the community, I call it community center. They've done a lot of work on it, and it was in good shape. And me, I was actually the president of, we had a board, and I was actually the president of the board. And I thought that was the perfect opportunity to get the city to take it over. That way, to preserve it, you know, because I really didn't know nothing about the history of it. I was just trying to get a place for kids to go, and then stumble on the history. And then it had always been like a heartbeat of the community. It's always been controversy or bring it together. Separate the community, bring the community together. Separate the community. It was just like that. But when they found out how it got there and all that, it's a centerpiece of the community. So it's to me, significant to the Ackworth African American history, you know, because they saved it. Basically, they didn't know what they were saving, but they saved it. And so we got like Bethel, Rosenwald School, and Zion Hill. Both of those churches are like 145, almost 150 years old. Oh, so we got a lot of history there. So to maintain those would be great.
Especially the AME church is starting to fall down.
And I don't know how we can do that, because it ain't like the Baptist. The Baptist is independent. So it would have been very easy to get that church. But Bethel, you got to go through the bishop, the elders, and they really don't, they don't care about that church.
Any questions? Yeah, okay, I'm going to stop it.